Good evening, and thank you for tuning in again to Station 666. You're listening to the soothing sounds of the Jennifer Caress Horror Podcast. Sis, sit back, relax, and don't touch that dial!
This ghostly encounter comes to us from P.S. Gifford, author of Curious Accounts of an Imaginary Friend. This is a true story of what happened to Mr. Gifford when he was just a boy, and he calls it the Gatehouse. I have had many odd experiences in my life. Perhaps I allow myself to encounter them, as I've always been fascinated by the darker side. Or perhaps, as I believe in them so much, my sense of reality is manipulated by my desire to experience them. Whatever your beliefs, the following is a true account. This memory would have taken place in 1977, when I was about 12 years old. It was the hottest summer I can remember. I've always held a fascination with one particular old house, which was just a few hundred yards from ours. It was now once more abandoned, with yet another family deciding that there was something amiss with it. This family held the record. They lived there for 3 months before moving on. Now, unfortunately, the vandals had moved on in. Windows had been broken, and graffiti had been written all over the walls. I was deeply saddened by this, as to me this house held a mystique and a haunting beauty. I had been inside it many, many times during the daytime, delighting in its architecture, yet even in daylight I could sense a feeling of foreboding. Dark history. I was an avid reader, just as I have continued to be, and one of my favorite places was the local library. I was determined to uncover the strange past that I was certain the house possessed. So I asked Mrs. Brown, the bespectacled, kind-hearted librarian, for help. She smiled at me, obviously engaged by my young enthusiasm, and took me to the archive room. This was before the age of computers and search engines, when all research had to be done the old-fashioned way. As we filed through old newspapers, she suddenly gasped excitedly, as in her hand found a newspaper article from September 1952, with an article about the house. She read the article aloud to me, and we discovered that there had been quite a stir. A young couple had purchased the house, and shortly after moving in began experiencing all sorts of strange phenomena, so they promptly put the house back into the market and moved away. However, that was not the most interesting part of the article, as it delved further into the house's history. We learned to conceal the dark, shocking secret. The article went on to explain that in 1842, a gruesome act had occurred within its very walls. The house was built as a gatehouse to a majestic manor house. This property was the grandest for 50 miles, and the grounds of the property were lush and vast. My house had been built by the main gate to house a gatekeeper and his family. It was his job to open and close the gate as horses and carriages approached. Apparently, the gatekeeper was an alcoholic, and when he was drunk he became bitter and mean. The newspaper went on to explain that legend has it that on one particular fateful night he had gotten into a horrible fight with his wife and had bludgeoned her to death. In the morning he awoke to discover blood everywhere and his wife's battered dead body. He then hung himself. The dare. After I left the library, my fascination with the house had only heightened. I went to see my good friend Mark and shared with him all the macabre facts that I had just learned. He simply smiled, nodded, and looked me straight into my eyes and whispered, "I bet you would not dare spend the entire night there." I have to admit, the notion both terrified and fascinated me, but with the naivete and gusto of a 12-year-old, I spat on my palms, Mark did likewise, and we shook. So there it was. We had decided that Friday night would be the best. The plan was that Mark was going to leave me there at midnight and come back and get me in the morning. I went to Mark's house, and he was eagerly waiting for me outside. I had with me a backpack containing 2 flashlights, a packet of mints, and a good book. It was a warm, balmy, overcast night, and the moon shone hauntingly in the sky. I was beginning to have second thoughts about my decision. But, you know, still a bet was a bet, and I was afraid of many things, but ghosts weren't one of them. Or so I had thought. 10 minutes later, we arrived at the house, which, as I had mentioned, even the daylight had an eeriness that excited and captured my imagination. However, on this dark, damp night, as I examined it with the straining light from my torch, it took on a whole new look. What also added to the terrifying effect is that the house backs onto a wood, and animals seemed to be cackling and hooting as if somehow attempting to warn me. Mark shook my hand with a firmness, as if he believed it might be the last time he was ever going to see me. I slowly opened the front door, and I have to admit I was petrified. I hesitated, finally taking a deep breath and entering, slowly flashing my light about. "See you in the morning," Mark said nervously, still outside the door, then added in a hushed voice, "Are you sure you want to go through with this?" I wasn't sure in the least, but I remember myself nodding. Mark raced off into the darkness and to the safety and comfort of his bed. I was all alone, or so I hoped. Exploring the house. I decided that the first thing I needed to do was inspect the house fully. It opened into a sitting room, the very room where I planned to spend the night because it was closest to the door. I carefully and slowly walked to the back room, beyond an old fireplace, and on into the first of the two bedrooms. The floorboards creaked and moaned at each step and echoed off the bare walls. I suddenly felt something against my foot and reflexively kicked at it in panic as I shone my torch. Then I watched, relieved, as an empty beer bottle sped across the room and crashed into the fireplace. I tried to contain the jitters I was now feeling. I took several slow, deep, long breaths, and when my hands finally stopped shaking, I continued on and opened the bedroom door. Although the house was warm still from the hot summer day, this room contained a chill. As I peered into the cracked ceilings and tattered walls, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I decided that I did not want to venture any further into it. Several feet further down was the door to the second bedroom. I cautiously peered in this one as well. In the middle of the room was a broken crib. As I examined the peeling pink wallpaper, I imagined a baby girl sleeping tenderly and peacefully in here, and then I saw it. First scare. It was then that I saw it. Something fluttering in the corner of my eye. I flashed my torch. I heard a high-pitched, petrifying squeal. My heart jumped and I impulsively cried out. Then I realized it was no more than a frightened crow. I flashed my light up to the ceiling and saw that the rafters to it had collapsed, and I could see straight up into the attic. The bird must have nested up there. As I contained my frazzled nerves, I once more smiled at my jumpiness. The bathroom was the next room that I needed to secure. I slowly made my way, fighting back the fear that was once more gnawing away at my reason. This door was the only one that was closed, and as I opened it, I was sure that something gruesome was going to pounce on me. Using every ounce of courage that I could muster, I slowly turned the handle with a shaking hand and gradually eased the door open. As I shone my flashlight, its beams reflected off the mirror, and just for a moment I thought that someone was shining a light at me. The scent of the room and its broken plumbing hit my nostrils, and satisfied that this room too was empty, I hastily closed the door. The last room was the kitchen. I regained my young composure. Just like the rest of the house, it had been gutted and vandalized, and I felt as if the house was somehow saddened by this. I looked at the cracked tiles and demolished kitchen appliances and shook my head in disgust at how it had been ripped apart simply for the fun of it. The room, however, was also empty, and now I was finally satisfied that I was indeed alone. Strange sounds. I returned to a corner in the sitting room by the front door and sat down on the floor. I pulled out my book and tried to get my eyes focused on the words. Yet I could not make them stay on the page. They kept insisting on looking about the room. I looked at my watch. It was a little after 1 in the morning, and apart from the occasional animal sound or a late-night driver speeding by, the night was deadly silent. I wished I had brought along a radio. As I sat there, I must have finally gotten tired and started to doze. The next thing I remember, there were strange sounds. As I started to wake, I could not recall where I was at first. Then I quickly opened my eyes and sat up straight as I remembered. How could I possibly have fallen asleep in a place like that? My arm ached from where I had fallen asleep on it against the cold floor. I yawned and stretched and once more looked at my watch. It was now 3:30, and I suddenly comprehended that someone or something must have woken me from my sleep. I nervously clasped my torch and aimed it into the shadows. I will never know precisely what I saw. Maybe it was simply a tramp sheltering for the night, or possibly it was my imagination playing tricks on my young mind, or maybe there was never anything there at all, or perhaps, just perhaps, that was the actual face of a ghost looming back at me. I didn't wait to see. I quickly grabbed my book and darted out into the night. I ran for several minutes as I tried to regain my composure. Surely, the face that had been grimacing back at me had a rational answer. The truth is, I will never know, and even to this day, that image haunts my nightmares.